welcome back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com. Today's guest is John Jacob Schmidt from Radio Free Readout. John Jacob, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you, Mark. It's always a pleasure to be on with you, and it was a pleasure to have you on Radio Free Readout a couple weeks ago, talking about a lot of current events, your new books. It's just always good to talk to you, and I appreciate it. It's a good excuse for us to talk. We never really get a chance to as much as we want.
Yeah, absolutely. We're sort of forced to make time for it, which I do wish we did a little more often. Unfortunately, since the last time we had you on the Prepper Recon podcast, the world has not gotten a lot safer. North Korea, they're becoming an increasing threat. They've just launched a second KSM satellite, which the experts think could have a super EMP inside. And that's orbiting around the U.S. right now. I guess that would be the nightmare scenario. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I was just reading actually an article on that just a little bit ago from Gatestone Institute. And what they're revealing through – and this is not someone's hypothesis. This is not a talking head blogger guy thinking, you know, sharing his take on how he thinks it is. This is – these are official government reports, testimony before Congress – DOD reports about the assessment from North Korea. And now, having said that, there's a lot that they're not revealing. You have to read between the lines with some of this stuff where they're saying it, but they're not really coming out and saying it. So there is, I guess, some subjectivity as opposed to objectivity with some of these reports. But many of it is many of the reports are make it blatantly obvious without even having to read into it that this is a very real threat. It has been grossly downplayed, and I don't think it's a matter of being honest with. It is definitely not being honest with the American people, or actually, the information is out there, and it's actually in our government. It's in Congress. It's in the DOD. But the mainstream media just in passing, they will mention it almost as an afterthought, but not really seriously pursue it. Maybe because they don't know what to do about it. It is a worst case scenario, which for this culture, there is so little you can do about it on a cultural level as far as the people go. We've changed a lot, you know, from the 50s. It was very trendy for, you know, average Joe America to have a fallout shelter. And we were right in the middle of the Cold War, and it was very much ingrained into the psyche of the American people, you know, looking at this. And it was a very real threat. But today we face an even more ominous threat, not trying to go doom and gloom here. But what I mean is the impact of that being so dependent on electronics for every facet of our lives, from fuel and food production to transportation to communications and everything, that we are so much more vulnerable now to having everything instantly shut down. That how do you prepare 320 million people for that? You can't feed 320 million people.
No.
And you know, you couldn't function. It would definitely be the end of the Republic as we know it. Not talking politically here, we're talking really existentially.
Yeah, and the author of the article you're talking about, Dr. Peter Pry, he's one of the people that served on the EMP Commission for Congress.
Yes.
And their findings was, yes, 90% of the population in America would die. And that's just – it's just a straight-up statistical number, you know. And like you said, you know, this is the CIA's think tanks. This is not just, you know, Joe whoever on his blog and his opinion. And what you said, you know, why is it not getting the coverage? You know, is it because the media, they don't know what to do with it? Or is it because people just pay zero attention to it, like they do the economic problems that we're having, like they do with the political issues that we're having, like they do with Christians being persecuted in America, and where they just kind of or you know, with the Snowden revelations, and everybody just kind of ho hum, that's too bad, and goes right back to being tracked with very little afterthought.
It's the most beautiful system for destroying a culture is to have them so completely immersed in entertainment and distractions. Like, you know, the saying from the Roman Empire was give the people bread and circuses, and you can pretty much do whatever you want to do. They won't pay attention. They look and yawn and go back to what they're doing. So that leaves those who are aware and paying attention pointing and saying, hey, everybody, you might want to look at this. Well, you're a weirdo. You know, so you have to, you know, prayerfully, you know, consider your responsibilities to your family, to yourself, to your community, how you can be the most effective. Why that's put into some people and not others, I don't know. That's, you know, deeply ingrained in me and who I am. So I don't apologize for it, and I just have to, I guess, accept the fact that the overwhelming majority of the people don't care or don't care enough. So, you know, I take care of my lane. That's all I can do, and try to inform as many others as possible. 9 out of 10 Americans estimated would be dead in the event of a EMP, especially a super EMP. And we're also finding that follow-on strikes, secondary strikes, are also it's suspected that those are also planned. So by that, I mean a lot of us who are aware have Faraday protection, metal boxes and cages and things for sensitive electronics. So after an EMP, we can continue, you know, functioning on some level. But I've always thought, you know, I would hit, if I was the bad guy, I'd hit with an EMP. I'd wait about 6 weeks and hit him again, because that's when everybody starts pulling their gear out of their Faraday protection. So you just reduced, let's say, all the communications devices in the country down to maybe 3% to 5% of what previously existed. And after you do a 6 week follow-on strike, you just reduce the remaining 5% down to, you know, thousands or hundreds of a percentage point of available communications. And the problem, and this is what I, as a Christian, you know, I look at this as, you know, perfect scenario for God bringing just stunning judgment on a nation, which we're deserving of, in my opinion. But I pray for his mercy, at least over his remnant, but it's just something that I don't know. You try to, like I said, you try to inform as many people as you can. You try to be as prepared as you can without doing it out of fear, but just out of practical wisdom, so that you can continue on afterward.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out Silver.com today.
In Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, Daniel Walker begins having prophetic dreams. Through one of his dreams, Daniel learns of an imminent threat of an electromagnetic pulse attack which will wipe out America's electric grid, sending the country into a technological dark age. If they want to live, Daniel and his friends must focus on faith, wits, and preparation to be ready before the lights go out. Buy your copy of Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.
Back to the thought of the folks that just don't want to think about it. It reminds me of Gone with the Wind, when Scarlett O'Hara, when she'd not want to deal with something right then, she'd go, "Fiddly dee, I'll think about it tomorrow." You know, she yep. just you know to put it off. And to the mainstream media, now we've had Ted Koppel come out, and he wasn't really talking about EMP, but he's got a book out, Lights Out, and it's about a cyber attack, which would be detrimental. I think in that case, we'd still have cars and perhaps radios that were not plugged in, perhaps, because they could possibly generate an EMP effect through the power lines, I think.
Absolutely.
A cyber attack would probably – anything that's not actually plugged in would probably be okay. Maybe even things that were plugged in, you know, maybe they would just turn off the SCADA systems or cause them to fry or whatever, and we wouldn't have power, which would probably be a lot better than an actual EMP that takes out all the cars and things like that. But he went around to all the morning news shows and talked about that. And still, even with somebody as big as him, you know, he's certainly a little farther left than Radio Free Readout or Prepper Recon. Of course, so is Fox News.
He's mainstream. And that's what grabs a lot of people's attention that might not listen to someone like us. Discount the message because the messenger is – too religious, too right wing, too political, too controversial, whatever you want to call it. So when somebody mainstream gets out there and talks about that message, it grabs a lot. It really did wake a lot of people up. And all these voices are corroborating one another. When you talk about the reports of 90% of Americans estimated to be dead within a year, that is corroborated by several different reports who are all coming to the same conclusion independently. That's something that is worth paying attention to. It's not an isolated study that someone did. Now, from there, you've got a few different studies reaching the same conclusions. Now, that is going far and wide. So basically, you have multiple sources sharing basically three, primary original sources. But those primary sources are showing a very high fatality rate just from an EMP. And then the cyber attack is also something that's very real. In fact, we're faced with it regularly in our country with attempts and successful attempts at breaking into the power grid or government systems and information systems, communications systems are regularly either being probed or successfully hacked. And then you also have the physical attack side. We've had, I've lost count, I think 6 or 7 that I'm aware of, successful fiber optic attacks where they physically, with bolt cutters, cut the fiber optic line. And a lot of people are estimating that these are kind of, I guess, probing type of attacks for, responding to, the time that it takes to, rebuild, repair, get the fiber optic lines back up and running. But these are malicious attacks. Our fiber optic lines for just our communication system alone is very vulnerable. Those are physical lines that run thousands of miles out in the middle of nowhere. And, there's just countless points where you could disrupt that. But all that goes back to whether it's EMP or a cyber attack or even a CME from a solar flare. What that does is it stops our food production because it stops fuel production. And electricity and electronics are required for all of that. And those are all, you know, susceptible to those types of attacks, whether cyber, whether EMP, or whether CME. And when you put that up against the backdrop of a nation that's rebelling against the very source of its blessing, you know, that's the recipe for disaster. So it's just prudent. I think it's just wise for us to be able to strive to be able to be self-reliant as much as possible, to provide for our families, provide for our needs. And if it's a cyber attack, that might be the better scenario, but those cars are only going to run as long as there's fuel.
Right.
You know, because the fallout that's going to be very concerning is the social fallout of people starving to death, not having proper communications to understand what's going on, without guidance to know what to do, without food to feed them, without medical care to deal with the diseases and water treatment facilities and diseases that would spawn off from that, that it would be a very volatile social situation in pretty short order.
Yeah, the water would be – that'd be huge because
– Key.
Most people that are on their own well, they're reliant on electricity to pump that. Everybody else that's in a metropolitan area, you know, they'll have water pressure for maybe a day or two as it gradually grinds down, or they run out of fuel for the generators or what have you. But after that, they're going to have no water. They're going to have no skills for purifying water. They're going to have no idea where to get it.
Right.
And if they do have a halfway decent source, somebody's going to pollute it just like they did in Haiti after the earthquake. You know, their single source of water, you know, everybody's using it to wash their clothes and bathe and go to the bathroom in. So that's what you have. And you just have people that have zero idea of how to deal with that or purify it or get it. And I think that's probably going to be one of the biggest killers that'll take out so many people before they ever have time to starve. So, Now, one of the things we definitely wanted to get you on to talk about was communications, because obviously our computer's going to be gone. The iPhone's out. All of that stuff. Even if you've got a good little ham radio set up, it's more than likely going to be fried if it's a super EMP. So we wanted to see if you could give us some options besides two soup cans and a spool of fishing line for comms after an EMP. What are some cheap things we could do to put aside that would be backup comms that should be protected from an EMP and that we could pull out afterwards?
Well, when you're talking about a super EMP, that's a game changer. I attended a conference that was put on by an electronic engineering firm that was building specifically, they were building prototypes for Faraday boxes for electronic protection. And this is something that became, it was new awareness for me. And they were talking about the super EMP. And what is required to stop that? They said your ammo can, modified ammo can, your modified metal garbage can, your microwave, you know, with the cord cut off, all these little tricks and things like that will not do it. They said, I think it was 3/8 or 5/8 of an inch thick plate steel sealed all the way around to stop an EMP. It will penetrate your thinner metals. And which pretty much deflated everyone who thought that they were doing something good to try to protect their equipment. To be honest with you, if we're faced with a super EMP and it yields the results that are predicted, we are literally back to the 1700s, where your communication system will consist of couriers on horseback, where you have them, or bicycles, until we can get telegraph systems back up and operational, which are very simple to do. They use very low power, low amperage, and we can use existing lines for sending. Really, telegraph type systems would be the first in the recovery, unless we had communications from other parts of the world coming in to help us rebuild our infrastructure. But something in my gut just tells me that that would probably be Chinese helping us rebuild our infrastructure, because we've leveraged half of our natural resources for all the money we've borrowed from them. So that would just be – it would just be the end and the beginning of a new era, and out with the old and in with the new. It would be a completely different world. But a standard EMP, there are – and we've posted them on Amaron.com for EMP or CME protection from electromagnetic pulse with modified metal garbage cans, with old microwave ovens, with ammo cans, and plenty of others. There's just tons of ideas. If you go to YouTube – like I often say, YouTube is your friend. Go to YouTube, type in EMP protection or EMP Faraday. Just type in Faraday. And there are tutorials out there where people have tested their EMP protection with do-it-yourself homemade solutions for protecting electronics. So if you do have a situation where your electronics – let me back up a little bit. Just because there's an EMP that could wipe out everything, including things that are in Faraday cages, unless they meet some serious standards, that doesn't mean don't do anything. Because that was what we had to overcome when people finally threw their hands in the air and they just said, well, we're hosed, so what's the point anyway? Well, hold on a minute. That right there is just handing victory over to the adversary. Don't not do anything. So protect your stuff the best that you can. If you have a basement, put your stuff down in the basement. Soil is another great thing for blocking, EMP. Inside of a metal shop offers some protection, and then inside of your Faraday protection, inside of an all-metal shop. Every layer of metal and every bit of shielding that you can add adds to the survivability of your electronics. Now, what should they put and what's cheap? What should you put in your Faraday protection? I would recommend at the very least two things. Handheld radios for your group to be able to communicate. So if Bob has to go over the hill to check the fence line, he has a lifeline back to the rest of the group. Or if you're going to convoy, if you're able to do that. If you're going to have somebody go out and scout leave the group, leave the safety of the group, have communications. So group communications with just something like a FRS or MERS radios or a small Baofeng radio, if you're a ham license operator. The other thing would be a shortwave radio. You must have a shortwave radio. If you're not a ham operator, at the very least, put a shortwave radio away, and it must have single sideband. Also, you'll see SSB, single sideband radio, because even in America, if we are hit with an EMP, somebody out there somewhere in the world will have their communications operational. And you have to have shortwave single sideband capabilities to monitor what's going on out there in the rest of the world. That's going to be your source for information, especially in an EMP that affects us continentally.
That's the end of the first half of my conversation with John Jacob Schmidt from Radio Free Readout. Tune in next week for the rest of the show.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PrepperRecon.com offers Molly-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.